Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The Lord's Supper is one of the five New Testament avenues of worship that are authorized by the Word of God. Now the others are singing, praying, teaching the will of God, and the giving of our means to the support of the gospel. Now there is no authority for burning incense, or using instruments of music, or burning candles, or clapping the hands, or any other act that sometimes people use, but they're just simply not noted in the New Testament. Christians today should and do confine themselves to what the New Testament authorizes and to what the New Testament teaches, because we're taught to do all that we do in the name of Jesus Christ. And friend, that does not mean that what we do, we simply say we're doing it for Christ. It must be by the authority of Christ. Now, the early Christians met on the first day of the week to engage in these authorized acts of worship. Now, we do not rely upon the uninspired writings of men to know that this is true, even though there are uninspired writings that date back to that period of the first century that shows the observance of the Lord's Supper. But we rely upon the Scripture, Acts chapter 20, 1 Corinthians 16, Hebrews chapter 10, 1 Corinthians 11. The first day of the week, friend, is not what some call the Christian Sabbath. The Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, and that is not the authorized day of assembly for Christians, as is the first day of the week. Now, many religious people observe the Lord's Supper once a month, or maybe once a quarter, semi-annually, on special, what they call holy days, various chosen celebrations. But where is the authority to do such a thing as that? What we do, I repeat, must be according to the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, and by the authority of Christ, Colossians 3 and 17. And the partaking of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week was once recognized by all to be the practice that ought to be practiced, not just churches of Christ. We see from the writers of the early writers of the first century that this was true, and that was the practice of the Greek Orthodox Church into the 7th century. Some continued this biblical practice as late as the 16th century, and John Calvin lamented how the practice was going out of style. But those who are determined to follow the New Testament as our religious authority, we accept what Scripture reveals and continue to follow the primitive practice every first day of the week by partaking of the Lord's Supper. But now let's notice some things about the Lord's Supper. This supper is described for us in the four New Testament books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and in 1 Corinthians. Now the first three deal with the institution of the Lord's Supper, and certain details are found in one record that may not be found in another. But you take all the writings, put them together, they complement one another, they are without contradiction, and then we have the full account that Scripture denotes of the establishment of the Lord's Supper. But we want to concentrate our thoughts today on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, written by the inspired Apostle Paul in the middle of the first century, 20 or more years after the Lord's Church began on Pentecost, with descriptions and instructions being revealed by and through the Holy Spirit. The fact that the supper is written to brethren proves that the Lord's Supper was not something just for the apostles, as some have falsely claimed, but it was to be a personal observance among brethren everywhere. Now, beginning our reading from Scripture. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper on the same night that he was betrayed. He was in the upper room with his disciples observing the last Passover feast. And for some of the ingredients of the Passover feast, Jesus used them to institute the Lord's Supper. So we're not given the liberty just to use any kind of physical ingredient that we some might like in the Lord's Supper. We should do what Scripture shows that was done. And the two physical ingredients beautifully symbolize the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. They are representative. They did not become the actual body and the actual blood of Christ, because his body and his blood were still very much intact before the eyes of the apostles after this episode had taken place. Some have falsely claimed that when some man-made priest blesses the bread and the fruit of the vine, that becomes the literal blood and body of Christ. Friend, this is the reason the early Christians sometimes were accused of being cannibals, of eating the flesh of Christ. But they did not eat the literal flesh. That this supper is a memorial to Christ is proved by the Lord's own words. He said, This do in remembrance of me. In partaking of the Lord's Supper, you see, we're remembering Christ, and indeed everything about him, with an emphasis upon his death, his burial, and resurrection. The Lord's Supper looks backward in time to God's provision for the salvation of man at Calvary, and it looks forward to the return of Christ. Because this supper, as Christ said, is to be observed till he come. Actually, you see, friend, the Lord's Supper is to show or to proclaim Christ. Now, we might look upon it as a proclamation to the world and to one another that Jesus is who he claimed to be, and a memorial to what he has done for mankind. It is also an item of teaching as well as an item of worship. It is an expression of our faith in Christ, a belief in that record of the past and the faith in that which is to occur in the future. When we realize the significance of the Lord's Supper, we will indeed be impressed with the seriousness, how serious it is, to deliberately be absent from the assembly and the observance of the Lord's Supper. Some seem to think that it is a trivial thing to what they call miss church. What they are missing is missing the opportunity to worship. They are not obeying the command to assemble, and they are not proclaiming Christ like Christ has told the Christian to do in the Lord's Supper on that day. Now, the manner that we take of the Lord's Supper is important, of course. It may be surprising to some to learn that this supper was given and is intended to be a soul-enriching experience, but it also can become a soul-destroying experience if we do not partake of it in the proper manner. Beginning with verse 27, Paul said, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I think we would all recognize how serious it is to be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. The Lord's Supper is a time to examine ourselves as well as to commemorate Jesus Christ. But you notice in that passage, Paul forbids us partaking of it unworthily. Now, we'll never be worthy of the Lord's Supper. We'll certainly never be worthy of what the Lord's Supper commemorates. But we are to partake of it in a worthy manner. Those who observe the Lord's Supper, then, have a great responsibility to themselves and to others to have the correct attitude, the correct manner, the correct understanding of what this is all about. To discern means to understand. We must understand what we are doing and do what we do with a very reverent and a very worshipful attitude and conduct. The frame of mind and the behavior, as well as comprehension of the significance of the supper, that is of vital importance to us, friend. Now, this is a blessed privilege provided by the Lord for His people to show their adoration for the Lord and a thanksgiving for Christ and a recognition to God for what deity has done on our behalf in the salvation of our souls. It is an observance that can only be rightly observed, of course, by Christians. Those who have heard the word, believed the word, repented of sins, confessed their faith, and been baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. They are the ones that are to partake of the Lord's Supper. They are the ones that have benefited from the sacrifice of Christ. They are the ones who adore the Lord, and they are the ones who take opportunity to worship the Lord. Yes, the Lord's Supper is indeed a communion with God, and it's a communion in fellowship one with the other. In the Lord's Supper, we do have fellowship, and the early church had this fellowship, Acts 2 and verse 42. It is never to be taken lightly or flippantly, always soberly, thankfully, reverently, seriously, with an understanding. Friend, because Jesus Christ is holy, that which is a memorial to Him is also holy. And there's much more, of course, that can be said regarding the Lord's Supper. But I want to impress upon us today how important it is for those who profess to be Christians to take advantage of this weekly opportunity to proclaim the Lord to one another and before the whole world. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, you are thanking God for Jesus Christ. You are thanking God for His sacrifice. You are thanking God for His resurrection. You are looking forward to the time when the Lord comes again and will take His own back to the Father. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, you are saying to everyone round about, I trust Christ. I believe in Christ. Look what He has done for me. Look what He has done for all mankind, offers to do to whosoever that will come unto Him, and to come, of course, on His terms, because that's the only way to come to the Lord, is on His terms. So the next opportunity that you have to partake of the Lord's Supper, bear in mind this is something that God has given to His children, and it is for the glory of Christ. And let us partake of it in a worthy manner. Let us examine ourselves and be faithful to that which we commemorate. This is A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.